Welcome to the second episode of Level Up, the ultimate podcast for all things gaming. I'm your host, Cece Odenbaugh, and today I'm going to do something a little bit different from the last episode. Today I'm going to yap about something I'm really excited about, which is the new Dragon Age game that's about to come out, aka Dragon Age The Veilguard, which used to be Dragon Age Dreadwolf, but they changed the name. Anyways, the game is set to launch on October 1st, which we all know is Halloween, so before we get into it, spoiler alert for literally all of the Dragon Age games. If you have not ventured into the realm of Dragon Age, 10 out of 10 would recommend. Just a little bit of like background for those that don't care. Again, spoiler alert, from here on out, I'm going to be talking about Dragon Age. Crazy, I know. Just kind of a recap for those who are interested in listening but don't really know what the heck Dragon Age is. It's a fantasy RPG game and was developed by BioWare and was published by Electronic Arts, aka EA. And the first game in the series was Dragon Age Origins, which came out in 2009. Then there's Dragon Age 2, which came out in 2011. And then Dragon Age Inquisition, which came out in 2014. So all of these games I'm obsessed with, because when Dragon Age came out, I was a wee little lad, so didn't play them then. But I probably got into it when I was in high school, probably. And I played Dragon Age Origins probably a couple times. And then Dragon Age Inquisition I played. I have to admit, guys, I just played Dragon Age 2 which this past summer, actually. It was just something, it was one of the games where I couldn't get into it. There was something about the beginning of the game when you do that kind of like prelude to actually getting into it, where you kind of test your abilities and stuff. And I couldn't get over it, but I did it. And I'm really glad I did, of course. But basically, all of the three games are in third person POV, which is very interesting to me, especially in RPG land. It's a lot of first person stuff. So, you know, Fallout, Skyrim, Dishonored, why am I listing everything Bethesda related? But those kinds of games, they're all first person. But Dragon Age, specifically in the combat scenario, is third person. A lot of the conversations and dialogues they zoom into, like looking at your character and looking at a character you're talking to. But it's a very interesting perspective. And Dragon Age Origins follows along the Grey Wardens, which basically your character is recruited by the Grey Wardens because something miserable happens in your origin story, which is truly tragic. But they gotta get you roped in, right? And they basically recruit you, and you have to fight the Blight. And you're the only hope because everything that could go wrong can go wrong. You got your little companions, guys, and you're fighting the Archdemon. That is the point of the game. But Dragon Age 2 actually follows pretty closely entwined with Dragon Age Origins, so the timeline is pretty similar. What's happening in Dragon Age Origins is basically happening simultaneously during Dragon Age 2. But Dragon Age 2 kind of follows along after the storyline. So basically whoever, there's like a little teaser, there's a little cameo for whatever you decided in Dragon Age Origins. Basically, who you pick to rule for Ferelden, they come in, do a little visit in Dragon Age 2. So Dragon Age 2 follows along your main character, who is the champion of Kirkwall. They are coming from Lothering, which is one of the first towns destroyed by the Blight. That was kind of the first thing. That was the, one of the first cities that you enter in Dragon Age Origins too. But your home is destroyed, and then you're basically trying to recover in Kirkwall, where your family is basically displaced to. And it follows along after a couple years. You've kind of got things that you do, and then you do this big event. And then 3 years later, then you're doing something else. So I think there's like three parts to it. But basically, Dragon Age 2 is very similar to Dragon Age Origins in how it plays, because it did come out just a couple years after. But they used a lot of the same mechanics, a lot of the visuals and stuff like that. Not that I'm complaining, but it I think it works pretty well, considering that they did the timeline pretty similarly. But Dragon Age 2, your champion of Kirkwall, however you decide, the big thing that happens at the end is that you have to decide if it's mages or Templars. Like, that is your end goal. I'm a pro mage girly myself, just because I'm anti-Templar. Hot take. But in Dragon Age Inquisition, it's interesting. I don't really know if it's something that I'm assuming they did it intentionally, but basically, after the effects of what happened in Kirkwall, because it basically destroyed the city, right? No matter what outcome you choose, it destroys the city. In Dragon Age Inquisition, the premise is that your character is kind of there by sheer dumb luck. At least I usually do the elven backstory just because I find that to be a little bit more interesting. At the beginning, there's the conclave, I think is what it is, and the Templars and the mages meet. Something big oopsie happens, and the bad guy basically destroys it and ruins all hope of there ever actually being a happy ending. So your Dragon Age Inquisition is a lot more detailed. It can be kind of tedious with all the small things that you have to do, all the side quests and stuff, because the thing with most Bioware games, particularly Dragon Age games, is that the events that you, or the actions that you choose, affect your results later on. So for instance, in Dragon Age 2, your character can basically decide throughout the game, before the final result of do you choose mages or Templars, you can do other things. Decide if somebody lives or not, or make a sarcastic remark here and there, and it'll either bite you in the butt or help you. And that kind of just depends. And I think that that's pretty remarkable. One of the reasons why I love the game series so much is because I think that that's pure genius, to have that basically help you or not help you kind of in the back end. The bad guy in Dragon Age Inquisition is Corypheus. And he's some sort of, I actually don't, there's something, and I'm assuming that they'll definitely get into it in the next game in Dragon Age Veilguard. But Corypheus is basically the big bad guy of Inquisition. And you kind of sort of, I mean, you definitely fight him in the beginning sequence before you get to the little castle that you're at afterwards. But Corypheus is the big guy who basically stole something from the Dreadwolf. And so I'm assuming that if you are invested in the series, you'll have watched the little ending bit that Dragon Age Inquisition does, where it shows, spoiler alert, again, I'm going to say it again, even though if you've listened to this much, hey, you should know. But Solas is the Dreadwolf. Whoa, crazy. Big D. But that is the premise of all of the whole story for Dragon Age Veilguard, which I find to be particularly interesting. So now we're going to explore. There really isn't, I mean, the game hasn't come out yet, so obviously there's not much to explore, but a lot of what I'm going to be talking about I have found from EA's website. Like, they have a whole website dedicated to Dragon Age Veilguard, where, of course, if you want to pre-order that game, definitely do. But it's interesting because they have different tabs on the website, and they have on there a little podcast, and it's called Dragon Age Vows and Vengeance. As of today, which I just checked a couple minutes ago, they have 5 out of the 8 total episodes out. First episode is a trailer, so I don't really know if it's technically 7 episodes or what. But they have on the website, and this is what they call it, in this immersive series, a pair of heroes brought together by fate embark on a journey of revenge, redemption, and love. And in the actual trailer themselves, they have this little blurb. Set in the vast world of Thedas, Dragon Age Vows and Vengeance was created in collaboration with BioWare and based on their award-winning video game franchise, Dragon Age. This 8-episode immersive fantasy series features a pair of heroes brought together by fate as they embark on a journey of revenge, redemption, and love. The series stars Mae Whitman as Nadia, Bridget Lundy Payne as Drayden, and Armin Taylor as Elio. Nadia, retired cat burglar, is lured back into action for the thrill of one last score. Unknowingly employed by the Dread Wolf, Nadia tracks down a powerful ancient artifact where she and her lover Elio find themselves caught in a web of lies that threaten the entire world. When Elio is seemingly banished into the Fade, a mystical, magical plane, Nadia desperately searches for the answers on a rescue mission across Thedas. So that's kind of the premise of the podcast series. And I have to admit, I haven't watched it because I didn't know. I mean, I follow Dragon Age and EA on their social media platforms and stuff, and I've like seen it, but I didn't really see, not necessarily a point, because of course it's just a little blurb into expanding the Dragon Age world, but I was confused as to whether these characters actually had any play in the Dragon Age Veilguard game, because I was like, are these characters that we're going to see? If so, then I'll definitely probably check on the podcast after the game is done and I've explored the world. But as far as where it sits now, I'm just like, what is this? Like, I'm going to listen to it at some point in time, but whether right now before the game, I don't really know. But as we're going through the website, the premise of the game looks to be pretty similar. I mean, of course, as past three games, where when you start your character creation, you have three different classes you can pick from. So warrior, mage, and rogue, they have that on there still. But what was interesting is that they do have a little Meet the Factions page on there, which is like, ooh, tea. So, of course, we've got the Grey Wardens, which we all know and love because they've been in literally every game. Because that was a big part of Dragon Age Origins, not really mentioned in 3. I mean, they have a little blurbs and bits about it. And then in Inquisition, you have the whole thing where they're being lured in from the call from Corypheus and all that stuff. And there's a whole chapter on it. And of course, you have to pick whether the Grey Warden Shroud or whatever his name is, or your champion from Kirkwall dies. And I can never let my bestie, champion of Kirkwall, die. You know, she's my baby girl. I'm not going to sacrifice her. But I'm curious to see how they play in this one, if they're going to be a big role or not, because they have kind of expanded on it in the past. So I feel like it's just going to be something that they mention in the lore and description of something. Maybe there'll be a character pop up, but I can't imagine it's anything that they're really going to put in because they've already expanded on it. But next up, we have the Veil Jumpers, and their description is explorers of ancient elven ruins. They welcome anyone brave enough to face Arlathan's reality warping magic. So I imagine that there's going to be a couple more mage based factions in this one than the other ones, because Solas is such a, like, a powerful guy. I mean, he's a mage himself, but he knows so much about the Fae that I imagine that in order to defeat him, which I'm assuming is what the whole premise of the game is, stop Solas, because that's what they've teased, but we don't really know beyond that, which is fine, because, hey, that's what the game is for. But I imagine there's going to be some more factions in there, and I would think that they would have a big deal, because in order to stop magic, you know, you kind of have to have magic, right? The next group is the Shadow Dragons, which is a resistance opposing corrupt rulers and slavery in Teventer. They are determined to bring justice to the people. So maybe I'm totally making this up, but I know that Dragon Age released some sort of like promo over the summer where it was like a glimpse into the first 5 minutes of gameplay or whatever. And so the main character in the main character that you play is, their last name is Rook, which is interesting that they have a last name for them. Not that that's a big deal, but it's like the past, they've always been something that, like a title. So I'm curious if Rook will have a title or if they're just going to be just dude, just thrown into the mix. Because it's kind of what they do. But I think if you choose the Rogue backstory, there's something related to the Shadow Dragons. So I'm curious if that means that all of these factions are something that has to do with your backstory that you pick. Maybe I'm pulling that out of my butt, but those are my thoughts. The next group are the Lords of Fortune, which are explorers, hunters, and treasure seekers from Rivain who are famed for their daring exploits and narrow escapes. So I imagine these are definitely rogue people, because if they're treasure seekers, we're going to be doing some nefarious activities. But we don't really know. This is just a blurb. These are just my thoughts. The next one is the Mourn Watch, which I was like, whoa, what does that mean? These are an elite necromantic order that tends to Navarra's sprawling grand necropolis, where undead walk and spirits dwell. So these people are definitely magic people. I mean, they're necromancers, so. But they kind of remind me, I'm curious, which I'll get to this later, but I'm so curious of what characters they're going to bring back into the series. Whether they're going to be cameos or playing like a pretty big role in the game. But the next group, which we've heard before, are the Antivan Crows. And I'm so excited that they're brought back into the game with a little bit more backstory. Because in Dragon Age Origins, we met Zevran, who's one of the companions. And he was a former Antivan Crow. He made a little bloop in Dragon Age 2. You see him a little bit. But not really in Dragon Age Inquisition. I mean, I don't remember anything really standing out where they were like a big part in the game. So I'm very excited that they're bringing that into the next game because they're very suave people. I mean, who doesn't love Zevran? He's a silly little guy who just likes to stab people. But I'm just very curious because from what Zevran's backstory is and what he said, they're a very interesting group of people. They kind of remind me of the Quinari a little bit, but I'm curious as to how they explore. And I don't even know if these like groups are going to be something that are like big factions in the game or if they're just going to be like lore of what people have come from, or maybe just a little section in the map. I don't really know. But again, I'm curious if these are like the origin backstories for your character. But we'll see. As far as companions, they've released a lot of that over the summer of who your companions are. Not necessarily like their backstory, because of course that's going to be explored in the game. But I'm very surprised. I guess he shouldn't be. But Harding is going to be one of your main companions in the game, who was not a big part in Dragon Age Inquisitions, but she was kind of the scout that scouted your locations before you visited stuff. So you interacted with her a lot in Dragon Age Inquisition, but I'm surprised that she's going to be an active companion because she does know Solas, but I would have thought it would have been like another companion, kind of like Varric, where they would have had like a more one-on-one experience, but hey, who am I to say? The other ones are Davrin, Belara, Tosh, Lucanus, Emric, and Neve. And Neve is introduced during that bloop that they did during the summer of the gameplay. She's in there a little bit. So she's probably going to be one of the first characters you meet. Which I'm curious to see how these people all tie in. Because I love the companions. Let me tell you, I love the companions in Dragon Age. I just think they add so much depth to the game. Because you see the characters evolve and change over time. I just love them. But let's get back to the characters. Because obviously, Varric's in there. Our bud. Our pal. Who's been with us since Dragon Age 2. Which I love that he's been in all the games. He's had such a big part in them. But he's such a silly little guy. He's just a dwarf who likes to talk. Who likes to yap. In Dragon Age 2, he's besties with Champion Kirkwall. And then an Inquisition, he just happens to be one of the companions. He's just there, you know, minding his own business. And then he gets roped in. And this one, I think it's kind of this situation where, you know, Solas and Varric were companions and hung around with each other a lot during the game. So I'm not surprised that he's back. I love that he's back. Again, we've got Harding. I'm very curious to see, like, what other characters come in. Because in Dragon Age Inquisition, I was gobsmacked when Morrigan came in. I was like, this queen? I loved her in Dragon Age Origins. She's just a bad bitty. I'm curious to see if she'll pop in. I imagine she would. Maybe not too much. But because during that little end piece in Dragon Age Inquisition where we find out that Solas is the Dread Wolf, I don't really know if he killed Flemeth or not. Because Flemeth, I mean, he turned her to stone. So, like, what does that really mean? Does that mean that she's, like, dead? Does that mean she's locked at the Fade somewhere? We don't really know. But Flemeth is Morrigan's, not mother, basically raised her. So, paternal parent. And we see her throughout the series, really. Because she's been in all of them. Little bits and pieces there. But I'm curious as to whether Morrigan's going to be an influence in that factor, because she knows the stuff that Flemeth taught her. And were Flemeth and the Dreadwolf buddy buddies? I don't know. But I imagine then that's going to be something pretty big. I think, guys, I think I might cry and poop my pants if there is a scene where the Grey Warden your character from Dragon Age Origins, the champion of Kirkwall, your character from Dragon Age 2, and the Inquisitor from Dragon Age Inquisitions all come together. I think I would literally sob on the floor, have to stop playing the game, and, like, take a breather. Because I'd be so excited. I mean, we don't know the timeline, so I don't know if that's, like, theoretically possible at all. But if my besties came in, I think that this might be my new obsession for the next couple years of my life. Because that would be so cool! As far as locations, they haven't really... I mean, they've given three on their website, and the rest of it just says coming soon. So we've got Ravain, the Arlathan Forest, and Monrathis, which are all very interesting places to be. I'm curious on how big slash at all if Tevinter is going to be in there, because that's something that I know a lot of people have been excited about, is potentially exploring the Tevinter side, just because Tevinter stuff has been hinted through our buddy in Dragon Age 2, who I literally can't remember, Fenris, your companion in 2, he's from Tevinter, and then Dorian, who's in Inquisition, also a companion, is a Tevinter mage. A rebel, perhaps, but still interesting. I'm curious as to what all they're going to explore in this game, what routes they're going to take, because I don't imagine that this is going to be, like, the final one in the series. I would cry if it was. Not cry, but I would be very sad. It better not be another Mass Effect ending or else literally quit the game. If there's something that, like, I don't know, I'm very curious, because they could go so many different directions with the game and how deep they go into it. I mean, with all games that BioWare does, they do a lot of the, like, lore and background, and they really build up the atmosphere and the environment, which I love. But I'm curious as to what direction that they take, because what they decide, I imagine, will probably play into the next game that they decide to build. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. But as far as the combat system, they've updated it, most definitely. Even with the little promo that they shot in, again, in the thing that I keep on referring to. Because you were playing as Varric, I think. No, you were playing as Rook, duh. And Rook looked like he was either a rogue or a warrior, but it looked like he was pretty... There were a lot of intense moves. So I think that the combat system is definitely something that they've experimented with and explored with. But on their website, they said, experience new strategic depth as you combine fast-paced attacks, parries, and dodges with the companion ability wheel to exploit enemy weaknesses and seize victory with devastating combat combos. So I'm curious if that's going to be something that, like, in other BioWare games, like, for instance, Mass Effect, where you can kind of build on combos off of each other, the biotic and fire combos, or the tech, something like that, because that'd be pretty cool. I don't know, because they have that in the previous games, not as extensively as other games nowadays have, but that would be very interesting. I imagine it could be a lot, though. I mean, because if you're already doing the physical combat, I mean, you have your abilities that you have had in past games, but there's definitely, I think, a more strategic side that they're definitely trying to implement on this game, because in past games, if you go into your, like, settings, you can, because in the other games, they're just like NPCs. They kind of do what they do based on your actions, but I'm curious if there's going to be something more in-depth, if you'll have a lot more freedom to kind of explore that side, because that'd be pretty cool if you could. I mean, you already picked your companions and your party based off of who, like, what your strengths are. Like, for instance, if you're playing a mage, you know, you gotta have at least one warrior in that crew, because if you're being sliced and diced by other people, you're gonna go down hard, versus a warrior who has the bulk, has more health, more stamina, and stuff like that. So I'm curious if that's something that you'll be able to control and adjust within the game, but I really don't know. If you couldn't tell already, I'm... Throughout this whole little gap session, I'm just really excited for the game. I'm excited to explore. I'm definitely going to be, you know what I'm going to be doing over fall break. Not fall break, winter break. You know what I'm going to be doing over winter break. I'm going to be in my house with my little water cup beside my table, playing that game on my little PC computer. I'm going to be there. And I'm probably going to play the game twice. Even though, my God, if they do something as crazy as Inquisition is with all the, like, side stuff, it's going to take me a hot sec. But I'm so curious as to how they're going to do stuff. I mean, even the small things, like, are they going to have making materials and stuff as intensive as Inquisition was? Because that was a little tedious. I mean, stopping during mid-combat to pick up L-fruit is something I'm guilty of, okay? Because I need my healing potions. I need to survive in this wasteland. But I'm curious as to what they're going to explore on. Obviously, they're going to do, I imagine it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited for it. But as to what they're going to do, stay tuned. We might do another podcast about me actually playing the game. We'll see. To wrap up this podcast, this little session, this episode 2, as always, Fireside Aces Radio is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine, published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experiential and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for taking however long, 20 minutes. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you listening to me up because there's something about video games, guys. I just love them. But this is your host, Cece Odoma, signing out, and I shall see you next week. Ta-ta!